My darlings, hello. So I wanted to record a quick little personal message before we begin this episode because many of you who follow me on my Instagram or OnlyFans or even know me personally know that I've had so much going on and I have not been able to connect with everyone as much as I usually do and like to. And so for that, I apologize. And I'm also so grateful that you all have stuck around and continue to support me and understand. And yes, so thank you for that. I've just had some personal things going on. I accepted actually a like last minute job in a different state. So I'm in the middle of picking up my entire life and all of my animals and moving across the country. And this happened. Again, it was spur of the moment. So that was on top of some other really personal things going on. And so I haven't had as much time to dedicate to all of you and this podcast and just my, my little side business in general. So that's a very, very brief explanation, but just wanted to at least acknowledge it and again, say thank you and say I appreciate you and give you a little bit of a heads up. So, in this episode, I only edited we barely even get into anything shibari, rope bondage, kenbaku, related, and we have so much amazing content and all of the things to come. But we actually in this one mainly talk about some personal things, again about like family. Discovering being kinky, our families discovering us being kinky friends. We actually go over our Tinder profiles and if we'd swipe left or right on each other. We discuss being bisexual as a man. I love actually that conversation. I think that's really important and really great. And then, yeah, so we have like all of the really specific rope bondage stuff coming up in a part two and even possibly a part three. We talked for a very long time. Also, we are filming some educational videos as well. It was supposed to be today, but all of our stars couldn't align because there's numerous people involved. So yeah, we will film that hopefully tomorrow or next week before I leave because I'm supposed to leave within like a week. Oh my gosh. Life is crazy, but life is so awesome and so wonderful, and I'm so grateful. But anyway, so I hope you enjoy this episode. Lastly, as usual, bear with me. I am operating on the, bare minimum of equipment, as I've said. And editing is hard. Editing is really hard and really exhausting, and it takes a lot of time. So it's not always perfect. I'm still learning. But nonetheless, my love is there. I put love into it. Everybody who is involved puts their love into it. And it will only get better with time. So I hope you enjoy, and we will talk very soon. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are
Yeah.
you?
Do we think this sounds better?
Well, let's stop recording and see.
I hope so. Can you hear this as I dig for candies? The birds are being quiet.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Well, I probably just jinxed it. All right, so welcome back, my little weirdo tribe. Tonight we are recording our episode on shibari, kenbaku, I said that correctly, kenbaku, or rope bondage in general. I also have a lovely man here who will introduce himself if you want to go ahead.
My name is Dan. I'm also on FetLife by Bad Hatter. There's a little dash in there.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
No? Awesome. Like, we have actually so many things to cover in this episode. I feel like this will be not only two, but numerous, because we also have a couple of videos that we plan on filming for safety reasons, like materials to use. why to use each one, how to maintain each one, basic knots and ties for everyone at home during quarantine when you are bored and feeling freaky. So that's going to be super fun. Well, let's just move into like the first questions and whatnot. So how did you first discover like this about yourself specifically, like that you were into this?
Okay. So this was actually back in high school, which my girlfriend at the time, my junior year, begged me to buy fuzzy handcuffs.
Yeah. Okay.
I call that my gateway drug. But yeah, it's like as a 17-year-old kid. Sneaking into Spencer's.
Oh yeah. Spencer's. I love it.
Well, not sneaking, but like, you know, nonchalantly going into Spencer's.
Bashfully.
Going to like that back section. And then getting the fuzzy handcuffs with the cash I saved up because I didn't want to use the card. From there, we just messed around as teenagers did, like using belts, clothespins, you know.
Okay. I remember actually my first experience at Spencer's was with two of my girlfriends from high school, and I went to go buy a dildo, and I went up to the cash register, obviously totally bashful, and put it on the counter, and he's like, do you want to buy batteries for this? I'm like, yeah, probably. It's probably smart. But the look on his face was like, all right, I see you.
This is your first one, isn't
it? Yeah, but I was like, super young. I was super young. Do you still talk to this girl, actually? I'm curious.
No. This was super long ago, and, you know, after we graduated, we both, you know, went our separate ways.
Okay. Do you, like, follow her on social media or anything, though? Like, have you seen her actually within the kink community or anything of that sort?
No, actually. And I'm pretty sure she moved to Florida or California or somewhere where it's warm.
Okay. Jealous. Okay. Yeah, because I'm always curious is that, like, how many people have these encounters when they're super young and then realize, maybe they don't keep in contact originally, but then they realize later in life that they actually went the same route and kind of find each other again within that community.
She got me into this stuff, so I don't know if she kept on going or not.
She has to.
Possibly.
So after all of that, when / how did you finally decide to break into the kink world, and like what was that first experience like?
So beyond that, it was all just kind of like blindly messing around until I actually transferred schools to downtown Chicago, and I heard about a munch.
Which, explain what a munch is to some people.
So a munch is kind of like a meetup, only instead of having some theme like book club or something, it's kinky people. So the theme of a munch is there's some type, is like it's a kink gathering, and it is usually at a bar or a restaurant, and it's a purely social event. There's no type of like sex or play going on. It's purely just to talk. And the general idea is to, you know, network, make friends who you can relate to and not feel isolated in your kink, as well as bounce ideas. Many times I have like, you did what? How'd you do that?
Right.
Would this work? Could it work like this too? I need to try this.
And then be in a completely safe environment where someone's like, yeah, and just like nothing's weird, nothing's taboo. Everybody's just like, that's so interesting. Yeah.
You can also meet romantic partners. That's not the point.
Right.
But, you know, if you meet someone, you have chemistry, there's nothing against it happening. Just don't go expecting to meet year one.
It's not to meet just some kinky girl.
It's not speed dating.
Don't you even,
Yeah, it's not speed dating.
Right, right. No, definitely not. And actually, I feel like you'd be shunned if you approached it that way. Like, you'd naturally be weeded out amongst the crowd.
You would probably get labeled as a predator.
Yes.
Which, in the kink community, it's kind of rather like community driven.
Yes.
So having that, like a good reputation is very important.
Humongous, yeah.
And so if you go in and start acting like a predator, you will be labeled a predator and possibly even like asked not to attend anymore.
Oh yeah, I remember, and I think I discussed this with Underwoman, but I don't know if we recorded it. I remember when I first entered the kink community and started going to munches, started going to events, started going to dungeons for like classes and everything with my dom at the time. That happened right around, and I don't know their names. I don't know if it's okay to say their names even on this, but it was a woman and a man where from what I understand, they were both very attractive. He was classically handsome and charismatic, of course. And then they broke up, and he ended up setting her house on fire or something. Do you remember who these people were?
I remember hearing about this. I do not actually know them or even know their name.
Right, exactly. But know the story. Mm-hmm. And every single event I went to, this was mentioned in the beginning of he is not allowed at our events anymore. He was ostracized, like, to the max, which he should have been. Like, as far as I knew, he was in jail at that point. But it was widely expressed amongst the community as this is not allowed. Also, it was right around the time that 50 Shades of Grey was being made into a movie. And that was also a topic of discussion where... Exactly.
Don't get me started on that.
Exactly. And that was a huge topic of discussion of like, okay, maybe some of you are here, male or female, because this movie has been made glamorized, like BDSM has been glamorized, but actually it's predatorial and very... frightening, actually, if you look at the...
My biggest problem with it is the consent violations.
Exactly.
One of the golden rules of BDSM is consent.
Yes.
And so having this type of literature say, you know, it's okay to do this to another individual without them saying yes or even just like a...
We'll see.
Yeah.
I agree, but we'll see. Yeah.
It's dangerous, actually. I've seen situations where someone just expressed a fantasy, and then another person is like, oh, they must want me to do this to them. It's like, no, that's not what it means. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, shit hits the fan because proper consent wasn't given and then proper boundaries weren't set. And it's just, to put it strictly, dangerous.
Very. For so many reasons. And we'll kind of touch on this later. But like the gentleman that I was talking with tonight about possibly doing some content with, that I said is my friend's, or my ex-boyfriend's friend. He was literally just like, I'm down for any freaky shit. Like, you can dom me, you can dress me up, you can do CBT, which is cock and ball torture. You can do whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, this will be a conversation before any of that happens of like, let's discuss boundaries and consent and safe words and whatnot. He's like, no, I really don't care. Just do whatever. I'm like, that's not how it works though. Because you don't know until you're in that moment what effect it'll have on you. And I think we talked about this, I think it was me and you before, about, like, some people don't realize it. They always think that they're, like, super ready and gung-ho about being tied, and then they get into that situation, and it triggers something very traumatic for them, which you would never think is going to happen until it just clicks something in your brain, and so that's why things like this, yes, are very dangerous and need to be discussed, and also to touch on that, I'm actually talking more. I apologize. But my parents, after I got a rehab, so I'm a recovering alcoholic / addict, and I started pursuing this and diving back into the kink world, my family thought that it was a death sentence, right? That it meant that I was going to get into harder drugs, that I was going to be drinking even more, that I was hanging around the wrong people. And I was like, that's actually the exact opposite of what this world is about. Like, no dungeon, it's completely sober. Most people, as you had previously stated in a conversation outside of this, that you will not even play or scene with anybody who is not sober, which is how it should be. Mm-hmm. It's very different than what most of the world thinks.
Yeah. So, going off of the dungeons.
Yeah.
The legitimate dungeons, if you are obviously drunk or high, they will ask you to leave. Mm-hmm. Because it is not safe. Not safe for you and not safe for them. Because if you do something and you hurt someone severely, that's not only on them, but then they also have to deal with the backlash of, you know, getting an ambulance, having people ask what happened. They're liable, but also me personally, why are you doing that to another person while high or drunk? Mm-hmm. I believe that if you are not in fully control of your body, you should not be participating in kink.
No, definitely not. Especially for the first time. I think most people go into it, like there are a couple bars by our house, I won't go into names for safety reasons, but where you can actively, you know, participate in some mild BDSM activities, and most people are drunk in that facility. And I've always been like kind of wary of that. Or leery, not weary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has always been something that I've been a little wary about when going to places like that. Because I've noticed that some of the people who... Not everyone who goes there is part of the kink community. Mm-hmm. Some of them are vanillas trying to get like a taste. Mm-hmm. And so they're not fully up to date on etiquette.
I wouldn't even say getting a taste. They're just like, this is cool, bro. Yeah.
Like, one of the things I've compared it to is frat boys going to the zoo and pointing at all the weird animals.
Yes, that is so spot on. I love that. That is exactly true. Yet they're secretly weird animals in private.
Probably.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Why else would they be there?
Exactly. Oh my God, that's so perfect.
But, at this bar, they are kink friendly. So I've actually brought rope there before.
Okay. And they allow that?
Yeah.
I didn't know if they allowed
that. I also know.
Well, yeah, Dommies. We all know each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I borrowed safety shears from
one of them. I know who they all are. Yeah, yeah.
But I was doing something and then some complete stranger came up and was like, that's so beautiful, and started touching the person and touching the rope on the person. I'm like, no, stop.
Yeah, thank
you. I
was like,
smack the hand. I was like, no. It was like,
bah. It was a gentleman.
Yes, it was a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And they were intoxicated.
Of course, because it's a bar, yeah.
It's an okay introductory thing, but don't think that all kink stuff is like this. Of like what happens in a dungeon or something like that.
So that was your first experience. You talked about the fuzzy handcuffs. And then how have you evolved into like dating now and describing this two dates? Do you date primarily in the kink community? Do you date outside of it? Both? How has that experience been for you ever since truly identifying yourself as someone into something like this?
I'll do both. It just matters where the connection is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have like dating profiles and all that stuff. I should also say that I'm polyamorous, so it's not something that's ethically non-monogamous. So the ethic.
Oh, I hate that term. We can get into a whole different rant on that. But do you advertise on your dating profiles and everything that specifically?
Like, yeah. So on my dating profiles, the very first thing I say is poly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And non-monogamous. The second, kink-friendly and into Shibari. More people know than you might think. Or they'll like look it up. Or
they at least look it up, yeah.
Yeah. People know what they're getting into when they like match with me, guy or girl. They know up front, it's like, this is what I bring to the table and this is what you will have to deal with me.
Wait, guy or girl, are you also bi or pan?
Mm-hmm.
Stop it! I'm just discovering this now. Really? Mm-hmm. Pansexual, bisexual, how do you identify?
Bisexual.
Okay, I won't touch on that. No. Because I even said in my last podcast, and I still stick to this day, that my dream partner is a transgender woman. Because, like, a beautiful woman with a big penis. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? That I would be set. I'd be none happier.
It's out there.
I know it's out there. Don't even get me started. But I did not know that. Okay, now I kind of want to go on this rant just because for conversation's sake, because I think it'll be interesting. Okay, so top or bottom with men? If you're comfortable sharing, you don't have to say anything.
Top.
And how many gentlemen have you engaged? I don't even know the question to ask. This is totally off the books. I love this.
You can just say sex.
Oh, well, no, I know. But like since the kink community specifically, I guess.
In the kink community?
In a kink way, yeah.
In a kink way? So I will say that my bisexual explorations have been more recent in my life. So I've only actually done solely kinky stuff with
mm-hmm.
with other guys, and it's
solo or with your other partners.
Solo.
I love this man so much more.
My ultimate fantasy though is to do a threesome, and have a girl and a guy, and it just be like all like a mash of like everything.
Okay. So I always say this, like, even though I am kinky, I'm very jealous. I am very monogamous in the sense of like, you are mine. I am yours. Don't you fucking look at another person. If me and my partner are being the dominant ones towards the other person in the threesome.
I mean, that's most people's view on monogamy.
I know
where people are possessions,
yeah.
And it also doesn't help that like society kind of tells you need to be possessive of this person because otherwise they're gonna go off and do other things with other people.
But I it's not even that, because I also do think, like, I also do have the thought of when I'm with somebody monogamously and loyally and consistently, like, I would have no problem having the don't ask, don't tell policy, like an agreement maybe like 3 times a year or something like that. Like, I just don't want to know. I trust you. Whatever. I just don't want to hear about it. That's it. Like, because I understand, like, you seeing another person and being like, I want to fuck that person. And it's purely just, I want to fuck that person. I get it. Even as a woman, I feel that all the time. All of the time. For various reasons. And so I can only imagine from a man's point of view, like, of course, like, actively sharing you as a partner with another person. Mm-mm-mm.
It definitely is a lifestyle and a mental state.
I know, and I can't be there.
It is not for everyone. And I fully say that. It's like, hey, I fully get it. This is not for you. That's fine. We'll be friends. Do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I still respect you as a person. I just ask you to respect me for my choices as well.
On that note, how many women have, like, responded to you on your dating profiles, or men that are into that? Well, men, I can kind of see being like, yeah, that's great.
Men, I get flooded.
Exactly. I know. But women, how many women are like, oh, yeah, me too, or that's great?
A lot fewer than you might think.
Fewer than I think. Yeah.
I have to be very strict with men, because more romantic for me than a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
So things that I particularly look for, like on dating apps, is a good bio.
Yeah, I know, me too. I know.
I will not match with male or female. I will not match with anyone who does not have a bio.
Mm-hmm.
Some decent pictures.
Yes. But they're not, no sunglasses on every picture. Yeah. Or no group photos every picture.
Yeah.
No shirtless mirror selfies every picture.
But also, for guys at least, huge bonus points if they specifically say non-monogamous or poly or
yeah,
or something like that.
Well, then yeah.
Because I am, for me to be sexually attracted to the person, I also have to be romantically attracted to them.
And in the same just general realm of thinking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I can't hook up with just a random guy because I need that connection. Growing up essentially straight for majority of my life, you know, it's a lot easier just to be like, hook up with a woman because that's what my mind was sexually trained to.
Mm-hmm.
And so untraining myself for a guy has been a little bit more of a challenge. So I've actually only done like kinky stuff with two other guys.
Okay. And still to this day, they're still your partners?
Sadly, you know, stuff happens.
Oh, of course.
One person is like, yeah, I don't have the spoons for this right now with a pandemic going on. And so just kind
of
like cut ties.
Of course.
And just left.
And
I was like,
you can't, yeah, you can't
like,
knock them.
A little tear. But there's only so much you can do because I'm not going to force someone to be with me.
No.
Because then it's just going to be a constant stress battle of, if I say this, will they leave? If I do this, will they leave? What will be the final straw that breaks the camel's back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I rather have someone who wants to be with me and then I want to be with them so that we can just move forward in the same direction instead of me dragging someone along.
So two things on this. I feel like we both need to read our Tinder profiles to each other because you said a great bio is everything. And actually, I recently changed mine, so it's not as great as it used to be because I put in it. You'll see if we talk about it. It used to be very poetic and very eloquent, and everyone would tell me, you have the best bio I've ever read. It's so amazing. And now I changed it to be very blunt during the pandemic. But okay, one, I want to do that. And then second, I want to touch on, like, the first time you hooked up with a guy, when you thought about it, how that happened. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so after discussing this a little bit, I asked if we could exchange dating profile bios, because I think that's equally as important, as Dan also said, and then review each other's pictures. We have not seen either profile, nothing, pictures, nothing. I want it to be organic and honest. But you read your bio first.
Okay. So mine starts,
mm-hmm.
I don't want a partner in crime. That would be irresponsible of me to drag you into my mess.
Mm.
I just want someone who will give me an alibi and to be myself around.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have things that define me are polyamorous, not afraid of relationships, kinky,
mm-hmm.
shibari, geek, as seen of one of my cosplay photos.
Mm-hmm.
I put down the toilet seat, straight edge, feminist.
Love
things
it.
That
yes.
might help us get along. You think dad jokes are funny. Being seen in public with me for an alibi. You like anime. You will go rock climbing with me.
Okay. So many things on this. Okay, so I was describing to Dan, I recently changed my bio because of COVID, and I was just getting, like, I was trying to go straight to the point instead of enamoring people with my bio. And so one of the things that I originally had in my bio was I frequently daydream about living life as an assassin, a bank robber, and stealing cars and all of these things. And I had so many people reach out to me like, okay, what's your alibi going to be? Like, I'll be a part of your alibi and like all these things. So that's so funny that you say that, because that was literally the one thing that that people commented on the most. And I deleted that to now replace it with Tinder. Deleted my profile because I mentioned OnlyFans, because the world is prude nowadays. But Bumble altered it a little bit, and I put, okay, wanted, live in boyfriend, let's make weird porn together, sober as fuck. And then I want movement and not a calm course of existence. I want excitement and danger and the chance to sacrifice myself for my love. I feel in myself a super abundance of energy, which finds no outlet in our quiet life. Do you know what that's from?
No.
No, it's Tolstoy. And some people know, just like my tattoo, Janako Gentle, which is a poem, and then people either know both those things or they don't. But the people who do, I'm like, you're my person. So that's my current profile. Okay. Let me see your pictures. Oh, I'm so excited. We have a suspension one in here. Mm-hmm. Is this from like a lab somewhere?
Mm-hmm. It was the only one where the clothes are on.
Oh, yeah. Parkour. Mm-hmm. Partner.
Oh, that was actually just a friend.
Okay.
For a photo shoot.
It's very well done. ¿Dónde está?
Taiwan.
Really? And what's the significance of this specifically?
So in the picture, there is a tree, and hanging from the tree are little red ribbons, mm-hmm. and each red ribbon is a prayer.
It's very beautiful. In the gym?
Climbing.
Climb, okay.
Rock wall.
I used to boulder all the time. I used to climb all the time. Same photo shoot, okay? Mm-hmm. It says bald is beautiful. I was like, yeah, that is beautiful. Bald's beautiful too, though. Of course. What are you covered in, tomato sauce?
That is actually 3D gel, and that is supposed to be Deadpool with the scars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My worst nightmare. I have a huge crab phobia. Look at this. This is a giant spider that you can't squish.
Is a king crab.
I'm aware of what it is. But it's a giant spider you can't squish. Now, I will never squish any bug. I have never killed another bug. I have purposely, actually, in my first apartment ever that was by myself, it was a 2-bedroom. And in the bedroom that I chose, there was a giant spider web and a spider in my shower head specifically. And I literally showered in the other shower in the other room for months until I got a roommate because I didn't want to kill that spider. Like, it was a nightmare. I'm like, all right, you do your thing. I'll just, you know, whenever you're ready to leave, I'm ready to come in. Like, I validate your space. I respect you. So, no, I will never kill another bug. But again, point standing, that's a giant spider you could never kill if you wanted to. It's live that you're holding?
Mm-hmm. It was moving around.
Well, then you're just being mean. You're just dangling it by its feet. That's mean.
It's not its feet, it's arms.
Well, it's a limb. Did you kill it after? Personally?
I didn't.
You watched it die?
No, the chef did it.
And then you ate it?
Probably.
Okay, I actually identify more so as a sadist than a masochist, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't see the animal that I ate. Okay, that's a whole different rant. Okay, never mind. I'll probably delete half of that, but that's okay. So my second question. Oh no, you have to look at mine.
Yeah.
All right, so with Bumble, scroll up.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh, give it to me.
The green is very vibrant in your hair.
Yes.
And, of course, the birds there.
Of course, Raina. That's my FetLife profile.
I've seen this one. Yeah. Yes. The furry. Oh, is that your horse?
Yes, when I was blonde.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you also did jumping?
I do eventing, yeah.
Group photo.
Ugh. That's in Colombia, in Medellin.
And skydiving.
Yeah, I'm a certified skydiver, yeah.
Certified skydiver.
License, yeah, but I have my A license.
So you can just skydive on your own?
Yes, yes. You can skydive on your own after, like, 2 jumps. All right, we'll move on.
I would swipe on you.
Huh?
I would swipe on you.
Well, if you put... I would swipe left on you because you put polyamorous, I can't do it.
No, it's fine.
But if you would have put kinky, bisexual, and then you had your nails painted in all your photos, like, yes. Okay, so my second question was the first time that you ended up being with a man, and when you thought about that, how you went about that first experience, etc. Because I think this is actually so important for men in, like, coming up in this generation, even ones before us, where it's now slowly, very, very slowly becoming more recognized and more acceptable, again, slowly and loosely. But the more I talk to even some of my quote-unquote straight guy friends, like, they always have hints of bisexuality in there. There's always hints of being intrigued, but they're too bashful to admit it because of, you know, society and whatnot. So I think the more men talk about it, you know, the it's so important. So
it's funny that you mentioned that, because kind of related to that, but I also found a article that said majority of people naturally are more bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the culture that shapes your sexuality when you're in the middle ground.
Yeah.
So because of my generation growing up in a homophobic time frame, you find almost no guys from there as bisexual, because they grew up with that.
Admittedly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, not just that, but like, if you're trained to think that you're straight, you're going to think you're straight. It's the same thing for ancient Greece, where majority of the men were actually gay, because they believed true love was between two men, and the women were just there to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that culture, it was like the exact opposite. I didn't study ancient Greek culture. This was just something that was brought up in the article that I read.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to get off topic there, but like I just told Dan, this happens every time. We go off on rants completely unrelated to the topic we're meant to discuss. I don't even think we touched upon like how you first.
Oh, yeah. So it's actually funny. I had a very unique first experience, because
mm-hmm.
So my first kind of touching on experience was, I was actually at a swingers party,
mm-hmm.
and it was a pools party. And we were playing a version of Spin the Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it was a little floaty unicorn. So we were spinning the unicorn.
Love it! Yeah.
And so what happened is, you would spin the unicorn, and then whoever it landed on, they got to choose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Who they wanted to make out with?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's risky.
Well, favoritism. It was a swinger party. So yeah. It was for those people who are like, only want to, you know, I get to choose. So then
I normally can't choose you, but I want you. Yeah.
And so it landed on a guy. And then he said, it's like, so out of curiosity, what if I wanted to kiss another guy? And then I said, well, you just ask them.
Well, were you the other guy in the circle?
Oh, there were several other guys in the circle.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, just ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, can I kiss you?
Yes.
And I'm like, I thought about it for a second and was like, yeah, okay.
Well, especially because you responded, you have to be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny. And then what was even funnier is, the person I went to the swimmer powers with is like, that was so hot.
Of course. I would get so turned on by that. I'd be like, straight men. Well, in the moment, I would think straight men kissing. Oh, my favorite.
Well, he was openly bisexual.
Wow. Well, nonetheless, bisexual, straight men.
Yeah. But so that was kind of my first like experience, like,
But before that, you never entertained the thought?
Not really.
So then you kissed a guy. It was like make out, like hardcore?
Make out hardcore for about like 10 seconds.
Yeah, for sure.
So it wasn't like a peck.
Yeah, right.
But it also wasn't like making out for like a half an hour.
Right, no, I get it. Okay, and that just kind of like tickled your pickle, quite mm-hmm. literally, in the moment. Okay. And then what was your next experience, or how you went about discovering that part of you further?
The next part was actually Tinder.
Sorry, I'm eating gummies. They're filming or recording. So then you actively looked for a man on Tinder, or kind of just generally put it in your bio to see who would respond?
Well, it's more of I opened my Tinder up to both male and female.
Okay.
And from then, that's when I learned, okay, I have to be rather particular, because guys, whether they're straight or not, are still kind of dicks.
And yeah.
Want hookups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned I had to be, rather quickly, that I had to be very particular.
So, okay, curious. Would even self-identified straight men reach out to you on Tinder and be like, hey, like slide into your DM, so to speak?
I've not had that, or at least they've not said I am straight.
Okay. Because you said something, I realized straight men or whatever.
Well, I was assholes. Just saying, okay. whether you're straight or you're not straight, guys are still assholes and will still... Like, one of my biggest pet peeves that I've heard other women say is, like, when people message them, they're like, hey. There's two things happening. I'm either like, hey, how you doing? It's like, good, how are you? And then the conversation ends.
Hmm.
Or I do a little rant, and then they're usually like, this guy's crazy.
No, I've been there. Because even as women, like, I think a lot of us just throw Hail Marys out into the ether, basically, out into the internet universe, and hope that someone will respond in a clever way when we're not giving the initial clever response, whatever. Like, when someone asks me a bunch of questions off the bat, like, hey, so I see you're into horses, I see you says something about being into kink, I see you do, I'm like, that's too many questions. I can't.
Yeah, when I message someone, I never say just, hey.
Right.
I will say something like, hey, you know, and then I'll say something related to their profile.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I only will swipe on people who have a bio.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've literally done this before where I swiped on someone who didn't have a bio, and then they swiped on me, and I'm like, hey, since you don't have a bio, would you mind telling me a bit about yourself, or maybe like why you swiped on me? And then two things has happened where majority of the time person doesn't respond. The other time someone responded with no. And I'm like, why'd you swipe on me?
Oh my gosh. No, I usually don't respond to people without bios, either male or female, because I just think they signed up as like a last-ditch effort, or like curiosity's sake.
Or ego boost.
Or ego boost, exactly. So many of the men, especially, that don't have bios are what at first glance could be stereotyped as meatheads, you know? Because they're just like, I don't care, I don't need to put anything, guys or girls are gonna...
Or catfish.
You never know in today's world, it's so weird. You never know.
I've definitely come across profiles where it's like, I think you're a catfish.
Oh, all the time. And then they keep asking for like more and more photos or more proof. And I'm like, okay, this is going too far. Like, we can meet in person. I'll agree to meet in person. I won't give you my actual phone number, nothing. We can agree to meet. Also, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people ask for, hey, do you have a Snapchat? I'm like, isn't it the goddamn same thing?
No, I on Snapchat hate they can send that. Dick pics.
Sure, but then, but I'm not asking for that. So, like, if you're just asking to communicate,
they don't care.
Well, their argument always is, well, Tinder makes my phone slow. Okay, well, then let's just again agree to meet at XYZ, and then it's called a day. And it's usually the younger generation, usually younger guys. Like, I actually was having this conversation with my dad the other day. Because he just went on a date and he was like ranting about his issues. I'm like, Dad, you don't even understand what it's like for our generation. Get out of here. The struggle is real. But anyway, once again, we got off on a tangent a little bit. So I want to, okay. I know this is not relevant to Shibari or Rope or Kenbaku or anything, but I want to know, like, the first experience you had with a guy and how that developed outside of that first experience. And you don't have to share if you're not comfortable.
So, like, just basically, like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, what? How did that, from start to finish, how did that come about?
How it started was, you know, talked a little bit, met in person.
Via Tinder, first off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It was on Tinder. And so met a few times because, you know, I need a little bit more to get into a guy. When we actually got to that point, we did rope.
Oh, okay. So you went to that realm. Okay. It wasn't vanilla stuff to begin with. Okay.
Oh, no, it wasn't vanilla stuff. Fuck vanilla stuff.
Well, no, I know. But, you know, I didn't know, like, if you're first exploring, like, actually, it makes sense that you'd be more comfortable in your own world, you know, like, kind of, if you know what I mean. That makes sense. But I wasn't sure if it was, like, you'd go on a date with any other girl and I'd just be like, okay, we kissed goodnight and we had a spark or something like that.
Yeah, I know. So, for this experience, I'm not going to go into great details, but, you know, I had him naked, tied up, and so, since it was still, like, my exploring phase, I didn't come, but I jerked him off while he was in rope. And so, that was kind of my first experience with that.
Okay, I'm trying to... I asked so many questions. I'm trying to, like, did you initiate it? What tie was he in? Like, were you kissing before that? Like, so many questions. Because I'm trying to picture it in my head so I can masturbate to it later. No answer. Okay, fine. We'll discuss it off camera.
Sure.
Okay, and that was kind of the end of it, like, end scene, and then you went your separate ways. Okay. So many questions. So excited. I'll move on to the next one, though.
Okay.
We'll discuss it. Yeah, I know you're ready. Okay. We already discussed the polyamorous thing and why. Oh, my favorite question. Because as I told you earlier, as I said on every other podcast, I always like... revealing the person behind all of these things. I was like, ultimately, the point of my podcast, all of my content in general, like, I really don't want all of us to be viewed as these little weirdos, even though I take that as a compliment. I call all of you my little weirdos, and I love it. But all of us have a story. All of us got here in different ways. All of us look at it in different ways. Like, even though Dan can view Shibari and rope bondage and Kimbaku in these ways, there could be a person right next to him who experiences it super, you know, extremely differently. And actually, that's the beauty behind it. So I just wanted to have human stories, basically. So my favorite question, because I always find this varies amongst everybody, and I'm always so intrigued by it, is, and I already know the answer to this, but for question's sake and podcast sake, does your family know? Do your friends know? Why or why not? What have discussions been? All of that.
So, my family does not know about the kink. Mainly because they don't need to know. They don't need to know what I do in the bedroom. They don't need to know the details of what I like to do to other people. It's actually funny. My brother is also kinky.
Okay.
And he let it slip to my parents. And my mother told him, if you rape anyone, I will cut off your balls.
Good for her. Good woman.
Which is, yes, good for her. But I'm also like, that's not what kink is about, Mom.
Well, no, and I don't think, like, she was interpreting it that way.
I think she was, because I think she was interpreting it as, you're sexually assaulting another person.
Okay, I took it as like, okay, I know you could take this far, and don't you dare take it far. But that's us being already involved in the world.
That's us being already involved. I think from her perspective, she's thinking 50 Shades of Grey, where breaking consent, essentially sexually assaulting the person. And so I'm fully like, yeah, you go, Mom. But also like, you're also making an assumption about what I love.
But did you ask her?
No, I did not.
See?
And I'm willing to not and let it lie.
Well, then you can't make these assumptions because you don't know her true intent.
I can't make these true assumptions, but I can make an educated guess based on growing up with her and the religious background.
Christian, Catholic?
Christian.
Okay. And what did your brother divulge that he's in, or like into?
So he didn't necessarily divulge anything. What had happened was he let my family borrow his camera. And he forgot to delete the previous content that was on the camera.
Rookie mistake. Is he younger than you?
He's actually older.
Okay, well, that's all right.
So I don't exactly know everything that was on the photos or on the camera. But I did hear about the conversation that happened. I know that he's also into rope.
Okay. Well, okay, so two questions on this. You've never asked your brother about any of this? You've never had this conversation?
I did not.
First off, before. Like, I feel like brothers would automatically share this. And then secondly, after already knowing this information, you would be like, bro, me too! And then, like, really bond over that?
Well, two things. For my generation, you don't really do that with your brother. You don't really talk about sex.
It's just a man thing.
It is a man thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a man thing. And I think it comes about from the homophobia.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have the no homo, bro.
Oh, I know.
And so, for at least in my experience, I always had a harder time bonding with guys, or you know, well, I mean, I have like friends and we, you know, we go do stuff, but never had those like conversations about like, when a girl says this, what does she mean? Or it's like, how do you do this with a girl? Or it's like, or it's like, you know, when you start growing stuff down there, it's like, is that good or bad? You know, you don't, you don't talk about like those things.
So we were literally talking for 10 minutes and somehow this website deleted those 10 minutes of content and I'm really irritated. And now we're trying to pick up kind of where we left off 10 minutes ago, but now the conversation has already been discussed, so it's,
so hard.
It is hard. It was a great conversation. That was a great 10 minutes and I'm so mad that got deleted.
I apologize.
It was such a girl power rant on my part. We talked a bunch more about just being bisexual in general and like men approving of that or disapproving of that from another male's perspective. So many good things. We'll come back to it. I promise we will re-record that because that actually was very pertinent, very moving conversation. I'm just irritated and I'm sure he's irritated too because we were literally just having such a great talk about that. And it might show up a little bit later. So we'll see. Anyway, so we'll just move on. We'll move on. We'll come back to it. You're going to be here again. No worries. Okay. We're talking about friends and family. And they got veered off course. And we talked a little bit about, like, why have you been hesitant about discussing it with your friends and family?
So, going off of discussing it with friends, or with family, so, never had that type of relationship with guys, let alone my brother, about, like, sharing intimate sexual stuff. I've always been one of those people that's like, never kiss and tell type of thing. So right off the bat, you know, I never shared photos or nudes. And I never like, oh yeah, she likes it like this. And so I never like done that. But also for my brother who I do know is kinky, well, if he can't even keep his own damn secret, why would I trust him with mine?
But it's your brother. What, have you never found him on FetLife or nothing?
Oh, I know his FetLife.
Oh, really? Does he know you know it?
No, of course not.
Oh, my gosh. Why don't you just discuss this? Like, we talked about in that 10 minutes. Like, I'm so open with my family. They know everything, and they just laugh at me.
And, you know, some families, you're more able to do that. Some.
I wouldn't even say I'm more able to do that. I think it's just I've done it for so long. They're just like, okay. They just move along, you know.
Yeah. But for the most part, my family doesn't really need to know.
Do you think they actually do kind of know, though?
I don't know. Never asked.
But do you get, like, a hint? Like, I feel like my family always knew. And then, like, still to this day, they brush some of it under the rug that, like, they can't just possibly process. But I feel like they always knew. Like, or if somehow I died and they found my journal, they'd be like, well, that made sense. You know?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I haven't been dropping hints or anything like that.
But again, would they? Okay. If you...
Based off of my personality, I don't think so. Or at least based off of what my parents think about me, I don't think so.
How you present yourself to your parents.
Yeah. Yes.
Really? Isn't that kind of like a... I don't want to say disingenuous. That's not the word I mean. But like closed off life with your family. Family is so precious.
It is precious, and... You know, I talk to my parents semi-regularly. I literally gave them a phone call yesterday, and I was like, dang it, Mom. Rats chewed on the wires in my car. Do you know of a way to prevent rats from chewing on wires in the car? And then so we had, like, a discussion of, like, and then, like, she pulled in my dad and was like, you could try this. So she brought in my dad, and then we talked about different things to try and research different things. I have contact with them, and we're not estranged, and I'm not, like, that weird child who never comes home or never talks to their parents. So I talk to my parents, and I discuss things, just not... Things I do in the bedroom.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood. It's been a hot second. We both took potty breaks and had some candy before we started recording again. Okay. And I was going to comment on what I've actually sent my parents. So I talk to my parents every day. I know, I'm weird. Every day, like all day, to the point to where I'm like, I turn off my phone sometimes. Because I'm like, okay, guys, you need to leave me alone. I'm trying to work on things. Just chill. And so today, what I thought was funny, I sent this to my dad. I've been working with my dad painting, and a lot of the time I'm, like, doing trim on the floor, right? And so I'm, like, kneeling, and I'm always barefoot or, like, in socks. I just hate shoes. And so I got out of the shower this morning, and I was like, Dad, oh my God, look at this. I have bruises on my feet, and this was the picture that I sent my dad. Right, isn't that wild? Yeah. And I don't bruise. Actually, it's always been one of my biggest qualms, like being in the BDSM community and when I was with a dom who was primarily a sadist, is he would beat the shit out of me and I would never bruise. But yeah, so that's what I said to my dad today. And then I sent them everything. So that's always been one of my hardest things, like even dating outside of the kink world and just outside of any of that in general, is like, that's always been my biggest thing. Like, are you close with your family? How close?
If you're close, if you're that close, that's fine. I do know someone whose their entire family is kinky.
Mm.
And they were telling me, it's like, yeah, we intentionally have to block each other so we don't see something on FetLife. Not found on FetLife, but, you know, went to Munches and
talked
to people. And so...
So they're actually all on FetLife together. Yeah. Unknowingly, kind of.
Well, I mean, knowingly.
Right.
To the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to block you so I don't see these
That's
things
so
of you.
So wild.
And
but I feel like that'd be my family.
Possible.
I always say my ideal relationship, and I even put this in my Tinder bio at one point, like meet the Fockers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that? Yeah. So I forget their exact names in the movie because I've only seen it a handful of times. But Barbara Streisand and what is it, Dustin Hoffman, like their relationship, I'm like, this is amazing. And so many levels, like there's so many little tiny things in there. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense to me. And even where she, like, when he finally comes home, is like, is Pam climaxing regularly? Like, all these things. That would be me as a mom. Like, absolutely. I love that. If I ever have kiddos, again, they will be little weirdos. Because I support that. Next question. Oh my gosh. We're going to end up having, like, four parts to this.
Whatever
specific topic. Not whatever helps me, just whatever helps my weirdos, my weirdo tribe.
Well, whatever helps you helps them.
True. Because I wanted to touch on the polyamorous thing. I wanted to touch on family and friends, dating.
Never did finish the friends part.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, for the friends part, it's actually funny that as I continue to do stuff in the community, mm-hmm. or the kink community, majority of my friends just ended up already being kinky.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, so you actually have discussed this with your friends?
Well, technically, because they're already kinky, because it just so happens that...
You found them on FetLife or you discussed it?
Two of my best friends are... I met in the community, and so it's like they already know all this stuff. They've seen me tie. They've seen me.
They know who I actually am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or know who I actually am. Yeah.
And is also cool because I actually enjoy making friends in the kink community because the ones who are actually serious and go to like munches and stuff
mm-hmm.
consistently tend to be decent people.
Yes.
Because they are more accepting.
Yes.
And generally more willing to talk about the weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, they're into the weird shit, so they are more accepting because they already know that I'm into this stuff, so it would be hypocritical of me to not accept you when I'm just as weird. And yeah. Since they're already into this lovingly, weird stuff,
yes.
They're like, oh yeah, that's normal for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happens that most of my friends I've made in the kink community and...
So would you say most of your friendships now are, originate within the kink community versus, previous relationships you just haven't discussed this side of yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I have one friendship now that I, from before the kink community, that I still, on a semi-regular basis, talk to and never fully, discussed that type of stuff with, but, you know, did the drop the hints and
And they and never stuff. Inquired further?
Not really.
Do you think they'd be open to it?
Jokingly, maybe, but... Honestly, where they're at, they're more of the give me a good workout and I'm good.
But is that really a true friend then?
Any
friend that you have to worry about censoring yourself with is not a friend to me.
Well, I don't worry about censoring. It's just we just don't usually talk about those topics.
They don't even know who you really are.
And, well.
So I wouldn't consider that a friend.
It's
personally it's, myself, yes.
In my opinion, if the conversation doesn't organically go there, there's no need
correct
to force
for
it.
An acquaintance. But if it's somebody I consider one of my good friends or somebody I could count on or I would take advice from, then they would know everything about me. Is that fair?
I mean, that's fair. Doesn't necessarily mean it always has to be like that, but
I disagree. I know male rules are different. Yes. I understand the, I actually do try and empathize with, you know, some of the struggles that guys have to go through when expressing their emotions and expressing anything about themselves. I completely understand. And I try not man hate on those things because I know it is hard.
But for my generation, like how I grew up, particularly my gender, because of that homophobic masculinity was taught to be like, you don't show emotions, you mm-hmm. don't express your emotions, you don't do this, you do the manly stuff. And so growing up, that was actually crippling for me expressing myself. And, you know, it took mm-hmm. therapy and to be able to fully express myself in a relationship or a friendship and not just internalize, just let it
fester.
So there is a, I'm not trying to like say like, woe is me, but I do want to say like, certain things for me to express have been harder.
Okay, so I will definitely agree with you again in this particular circumstance because, as I mentioned, like I definitely empathize with males and, you know, identifiably kind of straight males that are questioning their heterosexuality and trying to navigate those waters within today's like kind of society. And I also empathize with the men that are trying to find deeper connections with their partners, whether they be male, female, or non-binary, however you identify. And then being unfamiliar with those waters and just constantly maybe questioning, like, is this right? I don't know if I'm describing it appropriately, but I can only imagine like realizing it's human nature to communicate, to feel, and then constantly being told your whole life and probably still from like your elders, you don't do that. I can only imagine the struggle. And so I again, as I've said, like, admire you being open about being bisexual, about having those experiences, about being kinky in general, even if it's not with your family, like, just to the world, like, this is a podcast in general. Mm-hmm. But it kind of ties into also what I was getting emotional about earlier, and everyone's going to laugh when I say this, because the people who know me are going to laugh hysterically. But when I was talking about the Bad Bunny stuff, with him representing like the Neo-Nomanos movement and all the femicides that happened in South America, and then him dressing in drag in one of his videos specifically for this woman that was burned alive and murdered in Argentina. Like, I have, again, people who know me, like, exclusively only dated Latin men. And knowing that culture, like, that is the ultimate machismo culture.
I'm not trying to say it's harder to be a male or it's harder to be female.
Right.
All I can say is, for my experience, this has been
shitty.
Yes. And so don't get me wrong. I'm fully aware of some of the hardships that females have gone through, not to mention some of the hardships that trans individuals have gone through. And if I'm actually looking on a scale, I'm way down here. And like,
because you're a white male, yeah.
A white male coming from a middle class family that was well off, had privileges.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, not saying my life sucked.
Right.
I'm just saying, it's like, this was a struggle for me. I'm not comparing it to, you are not comparing it to some of the bullshit that you as a female have to go through.
So I realize now that's kind of an odd place to end, but that's where I had marked, like, on that night in our conversation transitioned to part two. So I'm going to trust my gut in the moment without having to listen to another 2 hours of us discussing and talking. So like I mentioned in the beginning, we have so many wonderful things coming up. And if you actually did listen to this entire thing, I appreciate you. I love you. You're amazing. Thank you so, so much. Your support only helps these episodes get better, only helps our content get better, helps just in general. So thank you, oodles. And I'll be short and sweet. I'll end it there. So thank you so much, my little weirdos. Love you as always.